My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the clofus, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea, so there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sautéed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. My lips are pink. This sounds gross. I'm not messy. I don't mean to be dirty. My lips are pink, glossy, and sealed. Because they're the ones on my face. I just want to make that clear. The ones on my face.
And when life hands you lemons... What? What's wrong
you
with
that? You are a liar. Keep going. Yeah, when you are a liar.
When life hands you lemons, throw 9 of them at Alexis Bellino.
Did you see that because I had a backup tagline?
No. What did you have?
I'm going to use it probably the next time I record.
What was it?
Is it hands you or gives you? I should know this. She's my queen.
Well, she's not mine, so I did the best I could.
How dare you? When life hands you lemons, make a limoncello was my next one.
Oh, okay. I like mine better.
Yeah.
Don't like actually throw fruit at people, but no. Like metaphorically throw them at Alexis.
But you know what? Are we pretending a lemon is a fruit? Because it's really not.
It is a fruit.
I know, but it doesn't give me, it's not in any way sweet. It's so tart that like, it's like calling a tomato a fruit where I'm like, this is unconscionable. Like there needs to be like, I'm dead serious.
I have never heard this argument against the lemon being a fruit before in my life.
Because when I think of fruit, I think of apples.
other things, watermelon, pomegranate, grapes. I'm thinking of everything that I have in my fridge. That's all I have in my fridge. I actually don't even have pomegranate like, sticks or none.
If it's nature's candy, it's a fruit. If it's not, then it's not a fruit.
Like, is a lime considered a fruit?
Yes, it is also a fruit.
Isn't
these
that
are
weird?
Citrus fruit. No, they look like oranges and they.
Oh, oranges too are fruits.
Yes, oranges are fruits. They are the same family. It's called citrus.
I don't like
grapefruit. Also a fruit. The grapefruit, fruit is in the name, no, and it's also not sweet.
Grapefruit is sweet. It is a sweet tart, like a tart cherry. Grapefruit is
a pink one. A white grapefruit is painful.
I haven't had that in a very long time
because it's not sweet enough for you, apparently.
Well, and also Whole Foods, like fruit department, has gone. And I am when I can get down there. I am absolutely a farmer's market girly, but that's like absolutely bankruptcy court as well. So like when I go to Whole Foods, I feel like something is going on with their produce section because
it's not great anymore.
It's really not
that
great.
I thought that's what they used to be like known for.
I don't want to say since COVID because I use that a lot, but I really think that something has changed.
I was never a Whole Foods shopper, so I wouldn't know about it. But then like in my neighborhood, I actually can tell that I live on the cusp between like the haves and the have nots by the grocery stores. because when I first moved down there, I was like, oh, where am I supposed to shop? Like, where do poor people shop in Fidei? Like, I need to find that place. And so I was like, oh, there's a Key Food. I'm going to Key Food because it's like, this is where I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to go to Key Food because I have always gone to like a Key Food or something like that because that's what my income's at. So I go to Key Food. I'm like, yep, this looks normal. Everything's great. They close at like 8 o'clock though. And one day I was coming home late and it was like 1 a.m. and I needed to get something from the store. And so there's a market, like Jubilee Market, that I would just walk by because it looked too fancy for me.
Okay.
And so I was like, let me just go in here real quick. And I was looking at the stuff and I was like, these prices seem like the same, but everything is better quality. So then I took my receipt from Key Food and walked around Jubilee. And I was like, some of these prices are the same and some of them are cheaper here. And it just reminded me of like, you know, the whole thing where you charge more in underserved neighborhoods because they don't have anywhere else to go. And I was like, it's kind of the same because they're charging more at this Key Food. And the people who go there just feel like I'm supposed to go here because it's the Key Food. So it naturally would be the cheapest. And so they haven't walked like the few blocks over to Jubilee. You can also go down to like the Tin Building, the Jean-Georges Tin Building. I'll go get produce in there and it's the same price. Like the bananas in the Tin Building cost the same amount as the bananas at Key Food. So if I want to feel fancy, I'll just walk around the Tin Building, get some carrots, get some tomatoes, get some like whatever I'm going to cook for dinner. And sometimes I'll just go there because it makes me feel fancy. And then you meet the most random people in line, like this tiny little old white lady in this fabulous cat sweater just starts talking to me in line about my phone. She saw I had a flip phone. She was like, oh, can I hold that? I was like, sure. And then we just stood there in line talking about my phone in the neighborhood and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, huh, how cute.
Wait, because we were just talking a second ago about a hotel bar that I want to go to with you when we get our next round of blowouts. But wait, so I haven't been to the Tin Building.
Oh,
how does that compare with, what's his face? Jose Andreas. How does that compare with what we got cooking over in, God forbid, Hudson Yards? And I love Jose.
I have not.
I'm an ally.
I don't know
Andreas.
What he's building over there. I don't know anything about it. What is he building over there?
This like whole Spanish kind of mercado, the market.
Oh, it may be similar because the Tin Building.
So we have French versus Spanish.
Well, there are lots of different
versus
things
Italian,
in the Tin Building.
Versus Italy.
Because in the Tin Building, it's like 12 restaurants are in there and then like little pockets of like shopping.
Yeah.
So like I'll go to the fish counter and get like my smoked salmon for my bagels. I'll go upstairs to the dry food section. That's where I get my quinoa, my noodles and stuff like that. But then there are separate restaurants. So there's like a breakfast restaurant and a Chinese restaurant and a taco place and an Italian restaurant. So it's like restaurants and like a sushi place. I'm going to do the omakase there because it always looks so good and fresh. But yeah, it's cute. You just walk around buying stuff. They have a fancy candy store and gelato where I go before I go to the movies because there's an iPick like right next door. So I'll go and get fancy candy and then go over to the iPick and see a movie.
Wait,
so,
we should do that. And yeah, fuck my idea. Yeah, let's not do like an $85 there. Margarita. Let's do that shit.
Yep, come walk around there. And then I also make the best espresso martini in the neighborhood. So
I've never had one.
Oh, so I'll make you one of those. And then one of my friends, Last time we were down there, we were having drinks, and I saw the bartender. I was like, what are you doing down here? And he's like, I work down here. I was like, the last time I saw you was at a bar in Harlem, three blocks from my apartment. And now that I've moved to Fidei, you're at a bar at Fidei, three blocks from my apartment.
Wow. That's the beginning of a Hulu series.
Oh, this is great. So, yeah, now I can go and get some drinks. Hey, Theo. If you're listening.
Wait, but the espresso martini, so I have a really delicate tum, and I'm also going through some tum stuff. I just don't think, and I am also not a vodka person. Like, I'm a Prosecco, like, champs gal. I like a lighter, kind of, like, easier to drink, more celebratory. So, like...
Well, you can take a sip.
I think it will kill me. No. I really don't think I can survive it. I don't think...
So usually when I get an espresso martini somewhere, I think it's too bitter because I don't really like coffee that much. It's too strong and too bitter.
It's terrible. Do they add sugar to it?
They do. So okay. I took a normal espresso martini recipe, and instead of espresso, I use cold brew because it's a lot smoother. Mm-hmm. And then instead of... simple syrup, I use like a chocolate mocha syrup that you would use to flavor coffee. That's
going to kill me.
Or I can use other, because I also have hazelnut that I put in one, which was really good. I put a salted caramel in one, and it was pretty good. And then I don't shake it. I do little sweetened coffee ice cubes instead. And then I put regular vodka, regular Kahlua, and then I put a vanilla cold foam on top. And so it's really good. It's like a little dessert drink instead of like a
dessert.
Yeah. So I usually like that will be our little dessert drink if I don't have like a cake or something. So you can have a little sip. Otherwise, I do have some fancy Prosecco that I just got from my little wine store. There's a wine store by me that sends texts out. I was like, we're having a whiskey tasting or we're having a wine tasting. And they had a whiskey tasting. And I went and bought some whiskey. And then she was also like, we just got this Prosecco in and I opened some to try. You want to try it? And I was like, sure. And I bought some of that. So,
oh, tell me what that Prosecco was.
Oh, I don't know the name. I know it's from Oregon.
We love. Oregon, hello. They have great sparkling wines.
Yep. So the first white wine I ever liked was from Oregon. It was Anamie, Anneamie.
Okay.
And it was like in college because I wasn't a big wine drinker. And it was like so light and crisp. And I was like, So yeah, Oregon has a special place for me for wines.
Oh my God. Well, you know what? It's going to have a special place for me this episode. You guys, it's Annie's Girls. It's episode 580 something. I really don't know. My tummy is upset. And I'm so excited to have a special return guest. You know him as a writer and creator, the writer and creator behind overpricedvodka.com. Of course, a proud Bravo-holic. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Raffy D'Angelo. Raffy, how are we?
I'm doing great. This is a nice little midday. Yeah. I had some meetings this morning. I have another meeting this afternoon. So nice little midday jaunt up to the Upper East Side. I actually took the bus up here.
I love the bus.
Yep, I took the 15 like straight up from like basically where so when you come down, you take the 15 straight down. It drops you off a block.
The 15 is a select, right?
Mm-hmm.
Love.
Yep. So it was nice, chilling. So it was cool.
I love a New York City bus. As long as you're sitting down. If you're standing, you're fucked.
Yeah, but
if you're, like, it's you can't. It's actually, I think, unsafe if you're standing. But like if you're sitting down, easy breezy, beautiful.
Yep. I read a little book. It was great. Answered some Slack messages. So it was
so
good.
Nice.
Speaking of Fidei and Bravo, have you been to the little Bravo bar or Bravo restaurant, whatever that is, down in Fidei? Because I was walking and I walked by it the other day and I didn't know it existed.
The Diamonds and Rosé.
Is that what it is?
So I was invited to their like preview thing and I couldn't go because I wasn't feeling well. And it was like an extremely hot day. And then, of course, after I realized I couldn't go, then like housewives show up and I was like, God, fuck me. Like, I'm so upset. But then I heard that it was still really hot inside. So I would have melted to the ground. So that might be, I don't know if that's still up. There is another installation.
I took a picture the other day. Last week.
Okay.
So, we just walked by there.
Yeah, I love that.
Lots of walking to be done downtown.
I heard great things about it. I don't know if it's still open, but it's like Bravo's doing these like interactive experiences. Okay, you're showing me a window that says Hi Baby Gorgeous, trying to buy flowers. I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah, it looked cute in there and the menu looked cute, like the little drinks they had like sitting outside. So we can walk by there too.
Okay, I love that. I'm also going to a Bravo event this week. But I don't know.
The New York one at City Winery, I think.
Somewhere else.
Oh, so I got the location wrong. Sorry.
But are you going?
No.
Okay.
I'm really busy this week with work.
Okay, braggy.
I am.
I did think of you because I think I paid off my credit card.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. So well, financial planning is one of my services. Well, it's not really one of my services. You, just for
had
her.
We had a real, we need to have a sit down. I love that I'm like recommending us. Like we have to like, I have to get a blowout before we go to drinks. So we're going to have like a $30 glass of something that I will half finish. But then we will have a talk about financial responsibility. Because yeah. I did think of you when I saw my accountant last week and was like, I need to do 19 different things. And he looked at me blanking and was like, what's happening? So we need to have a sit down because you gave me a strategy.
Yep.
And I forgot it. And I don't think I wrote it down. If I did, I don't know where I wrote it. So like, we need to do that again. Because okay, I really, fine. That's my goal is like for the fall is financial responsibility.
Good goal. That was my goal for 2024? So that was my goal in 2022. Like 2021, 2022, I wanted to be out of debt.
So, and how long did that take you? We had this whole conversation.
Yeah, I made a 14-month plan, but I finished in 10 months. So
again, bragging. Yeah. All right, whatever. I was like,
but yeah, it took some like real cuts. You know, it was like, I'm just going to suffer for a year so I can relax after that instead of having this weight over myself. So I like really downsized. I moved in to a small apartment with my best friend's little sister, and it was like half the price of my previous rent. So I just took all that money, put into debt, did the snowball theory, like smallest to biggest. I did like a budget because I could see this is how much money I spend on food and this is what I spend on this, and I just took everything down to the bare bones, put all that money toward the debt. So there was no like going out, no vacations, cooked everything at home. If I went out, I did leave a little money to go out, but it was really just like, I'll go to happy hour and not go to dinner after. Cause like happy hour, I can get by with $20. You go to dinner with your friends after that, and you suddenly spent $80. So I'm like, nope, I will just go to the happy hour and be like, bye. See you guys later. So it worked out great.
You know, I was just thinking, I'm focused on financial responsibility but after Wednesday because I have something I have to do tomorrow. So it's going to start. It's actually going to start Tuesday afternoon, probably around noonish. I don't know. I might share some photos on Instagram of some stuff. But like after that, financial. But, you know, you have to figure out ways to like, you know, plan for your future and be financially responsible. And I think that is when you stop thinking about it as an albatross and start thinking about it as like, this is an exciting thing that I can do for myself. When you think of financial responsibility as self-care.
Yeah.
Like it becomes.
That's a good one. You should lead your.
But I'm being serious.
Yeah, that's good. Like you should lead your talk with that.
Thank you. My TED talk?
Yes, your TED talk.
How Real Housewives Saves Saving Money.
Yep. That's great.
I'm here for it. I'm into it. Listen, I feel like there's so much on the horizon this week, especially with Salt Lake City literally days away. I feel almost tense about it. Like I'm like, you know when a dog greets its owners and it gets really nervous and it's like wagging its tail, but you think it's also having a panic attack because it's so excited? That's kind of how I feel, but also anxious because how do you, putting aside the reunion, that finale, we'll never have that ever again. So it's like, I rewatched the trailer just now and I was thinking to myself, is this organic? Like at what point is sort of similar to Vanderpump Rules, but not really. Is Salt Lake City just going to try to out Salt Lake City itself?
Right.
Like as great as the last season's finale was, and it was spectacular, was the trailer edited in a way that was intended to be like another Salt Lake City finale is happening? Or is that just the reality of crazy fucking drama over yonder?
I did not get that sense from the trailer.
Okay.
I got the sense of just this is a normal season of Housewives. Okay. No like
secretly recording each other.
Yeah. No big explosions. Mm-hmm. Like it seemed like a regular season. Mm-hmm. I think that they benefit from the cast that they were able to pull together because they're just crazy people.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm still like on the fence about Mary. Like I'll never be a fan of Mary, but just her as a chaos agent for no reason. Just like, I'm like, well, let's see what happens. Like I already love the little sneak peek of the first 2 minutes. You know, where they open the show talking about the bathtub again. Like,
wait, Meredith, I haven't seen it.
Oh, yes.
I never watch sneak previews.
Okay. So, yeah.
Whenever they do the Orange County, here's the first 34 minutes of the episode on YouTube now. I never do it because I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. It was like a minute and it was just under 2 minutes. So okay, I won't tell you what it says.
Okay.
But it involves a bathtub. You do see Mary's first confessional back as like a full-time housewife. Like you get, and then she just throws this comment in there. And I'm just like, yep. Chaos agent. Like, good. Like, that's the role that she's going to play. It's very Kim Richards. Like, I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. I'm just saying whatever pops up. Like, she just rubs me the wrong way because she's a cult leader, but...
I mean... the thing that I appreciate about Mary being back, and this is the only thing that I probably appreciate, aside from the Chaos Agent, which, of course, you're absolutely right, is the fact that Meredith Marks is now no longer lying to us, let alone herself, about who Mary is. Like, their weird friendship, which was like, they're good friends and love each other as long as Meredith never says anything right. ever out of turn.
Right.
And yeah, there were the moments of like Meredith being like, yeah, I say stuff to her, but I say it off camera. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like, I don't really, and I love Meredith, but I'm like, I don't really, I'm sure they have some sort of conversation, but I don't know at what level.
Right.
I don't know that Mary has capacity to really take responsibility.
Or be friends. I can't imagine anybody friends with Mary. I can't imagine.
She doesn't have a sense of humor. Yeah. We all saw that Watch What Happens.
She has no sense of humor. And then she has like no like reality about herself. Like mm-hmm. she has no like self-reflective capabilities. Like she has no self-awareness at all. Like she's just like this kooky, crazy, Grey Gardens-y lady yeah. in her mansion with her things.
Right.
So
who has... undergone an intense amount of trauma, which yes. does not mean she cannot be held accountable for her actions, right. but also
but she's
she
never
is kind
done
of frozen
any work
in time.
To move through that trauma because right. she doesn't recognize it as trauma.
Right.
Like nobody has been able to show to her that like these things were bad, Mary. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, this is the life that you've built out of the bad thing that happened to you, but this was very, very bad. But she I don't think she's able to recognize that it was bad. Because that also, like, sort of takes her down as, like, the cult leader. Like, for her to be the cult leader, the bad things had to happen. She had to marry her grandfather in order to be the cult leader, or she wouldn't be the cult leader. So.
I wonder if no one is just ever going to mention the church ever again.
I don't think so. Like, after.
I think they checked it off the list.
Yep. It was like, all right, we said it. And then, you know. Memories move by very fast. So, like, now we just pretend that she's not a cult leader anymore. So. Yeah.
Total sidebar, but have you watched Secret Lives of Wives?
I watched the first five episodes. I have three left.
Oh, I swear to God, I watched it in 20 minutes the other day. I swear to God, I watched all eight at once. I did not move.
I wasn't going to watch it. And then during the first episode, I was like tweeting hard because I hated it so much.
Oh, yeah?
This is awful. I hate them. And then 3 hours later, I was still watching it. And I was like, okay, kind of fascinating. But the reason I hated it so much is because, like, one, the premise... Mm. Of just like these under 30 women doing dumb
under 30, under 25.
Well, like there are a couple that are older because, you know, like the hairdresser is 32.
That's true, Jessie.
And Whitney's 31. Jessie.
Yeah.
And then one of them, I think she was 29 when they started filming and now she's 30. Mm-hmm. So like, so I just call them under.
Demi.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right. So yeah. Oh, yeah, because Demi is 29 now.
Right.
But yeah, I was like, okay, I don't see the appeal of these women doing bad dances on TikTok. Like, how does that build a mm-hmm. following? And how have y'all gotten so rich to be the breadwinners in your home just from doing that? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand the culture. I don't understand how this happens. Very annoying. And then to me, like, none of them have any personalities.
Oh, that's going to change.
And I was like, well, the first episode was like, yeah. Nobody here has a personality other than Taylor, who is like a drunk who can't stop getting pregnant by a fentanyl addict. And then
she's had some troubles. She's had some challenges.
Yeah. Now she's the.
She's an angel. I love. Well, not an angel. She's done a complete mess. Incredibly unfortunate, terrible things. But like,
so
I love
her.
She had
a personality. And Whitney, one of the best villains that I have seen on television. Like, she really surprised me. Like, I was like, because I have not seen. I've seen a lot of villains who make themselves into the victim all the time. Mm-hmm. I have not seen one who so successfully gaslights everybody to where they apologize to her every time until Demi like pulled her card. But still, she was so good at just flipping it every time. I was like, wow, that is masterful. Like, some people could take lessons from her.
There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake. Daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes.
When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. It's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/AndySquirrels today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AndySquirrels. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. Like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/AndySquirrels today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/AndySquirrels to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. I mean, I guess this is a spoiler alert, but I feel like most people that have seen it have already seen it. And like, you just need to watch it immediately. It's on Hulu. Whitney is such a trigger for me because she's so manipulative. And there was one moment where Jen Affleck, not to be confused with the first two Jen Afflecks, Garner and Lopez, she's like, it comes out that she's in this incredibly toxic, emotionally abusive marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fucking shit show. And her former bestie, Whitney, is upset that she left a text thread and people didn't, and said she needed space. And right. so people gave her space right. and she was upset at them. So she finds out that Jen is in this incredibly emotionally abusive relationship and is happy about it because yep. she thinks that it's karma for people not reaching out to her. And it was in that moment. I mean, there were several other moments where I was like, Whitney, you're a terrible person.
Yes.
But I was reacting to it on Instagram stories. And I was like, this is like maybe one of the worst people that I've yep. seen on reality TV
Fascinating.
In a minute. She's
Fascinating.
A horrifyingly terrible person who is never going to change.
Nope.
And I think
it's fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
And I would like to watch herself.
I think she has. I mean, according to people in the cast, they're like, she didn't realize that she was the villain. Like,
even after watching it, she still didn't realize?
No. Oh, my allegedly, goodness. It took her doing press
oh.
when people were asking her questions. She
How do you
didn't
feel
understand.
About being the villain? And she's looking around and it's like, oh, who's that directed to?
She's so wild. And I knew of her because I'm not on TikTok, but Real Moms of Bravo, friend of the pod, have done a lot of like Instagram story content creation around Mom Talk. So I see that when they post on Instagram. And so they have called her Spatula for a very long time because one of her weird TikTok dance videos involves her putting a spatula as a joke, like into her husband's tushy. Like,
what?
It's so weird.
And
you
he
can
said,
see it
thank
on their
you,
Instagram.
Give me another.
I mean,
with his crisis gay haircut.
We're not even going to go there. I hope for him the best.
I do too, on Tinder, meeting women.
Because I really am, I just can't imagine being around her. It doesn't mean that she deserves to have what happened with him, you right. know, having coming up as a sex addiction, but like
sometimes terrible people belong together so they can save the rest of us from them.
But I don't think he, well, I don't know. I don't know who he is at all because none of the husbands are, it's like literally, because I don't know, it's such a broad outline of who they are as people that I don't know if that's because that's how they present and it's a part of their culture that they're not nuanced, interesting people or what. Like, I don't know if that's an editing thing
I mean,
or
a
personality community thing.
I've watched a lot of Mormon content.
There's not a lot going on with those guys.
Nope, there's not. Like, cause you like my I've lived with two Mormons.
Okay. Shout out Mormons.
Yep, I've lived with two Mormons. My gay best friend is an ex-Mormon, but his family is still all Mormon. So I've had lots of when I had a roommate, I had lots of Mormons come stay over in my house because his family would come and stay.
Okay.
And all of the men are a little flat.
Yeah.
Just in general. It's like very muted. So
it is interesting when they talk about the cultural role of like having the man, like very obviously heteronormative, mm-hmm. very traditional, the head of the household. But every single woman on the show is like, yeah, but I'm the breadwinner.
Right.
And it's like, OK, so your husbands are punishing you
right.
for being the breadwinners yep. by being
Especially
even more
Jen.
Militant. Oh, poor, poor Jen.
Poor Jen. I'm poor just like, Jen. Oh, my goodness. Like you have to like make sure that the kids are taken care of when you go on a little trip because like maybe because your husband doesn't know what he's doing. So you have to make sure the house is running, but also make all the money so you can put him through med school.
Quote unquote med school.
Why?
I'm gonna need to see those papers.
Yeah.
I mean, who's he putting a band-aid on?
All of the papers say Las Vegas at the top and casino. That's what they say.
The way
because he has a gambling addiction.
He 100 right. And the way that like a producer in a confessional said to her, like, can we talk about the gambling? And she's like, yeah, it's fun. It's like not a problem. It's totally fine. Meanwhile, he's gambled away yep. the money that his family gave them to like start their future.
Yep.
He's also incredibly dysfunctional at best.
I don't think she has realized that she can do better without him. I think she has, like that line she said in one of the early episodes about her mom mm-hmm. being from Ecuador and like, oh, my mom cleans the hospital where his dad is a heart surgeon. I think she has like that class distinction in her mind and that she needs him to pull her up a class, but she doesn't. I don't think she realizes that though, because like, oh, he comes from this legacy of like heart surgeons, so of course this would, you know, make my life safer because, you know, you're upper class and you're safer. And I don't think she realizes that she has put herself there and that she doesn't need him. Like, she will stay in the class that he's going to treat her that way
unless she makes a change and becomes independent. But I also think, I don't know how much, because I know that line has been clipped out and people have criticized her pretty heavily for it and the framework around it. But I also wonder, is she discussing the way that his family treats
her?
Yeah,
that's, I thought it was a great line. I thought it was a great example of like her,
his family treating her mom like shit. I don't think it's her discounting her mother. I think it's,
no, I think she's proud of her mom.
Zach's awful fucking family. And I Googled Reddit to be like, I need to hear a little more about this. And apparently Zach's family has gone on social media dragging Jen for poorly, for lying about how wonderful, for lying and saying her husband isn't the fucking angel that apparently is, according to his immediate family, because they're all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Yes. Like, these people are obviously, if you watch a single episode of this and you think the text of him texting his wife being like, we're getting a divorce, you're a terrible person, I hope you die. Like, no, that's not great behavior from this. And it's not the fault of production. Maybe he's feeling stressed, but like, this is a quote unquote man who made decisions to really truly attack his wife, and you're blaming the wife for that. Like, this is all so stereotypical of how I would assume aspects of the culture work, of like blaming women
for
being mistreated.
It's always the wife's fault, because it's unbelievable. I mean, it goes back to, she, you know, a woman ate an apple once, so then
say what?
A woman ate an apple once, so now everything is their fault. Oh, sidebar.
Wasn't a lemon.
Have you seen, there's some girl, I don't know who it is, but she's got this music video, it's called like She Ate, and it's
is it about her eating?
No, it's like the chorus is kind of about Eve. It was like the first woman who ever sinned, she ate. And then it's just like so famous, like this kind of vogue. It was like, she ate. She ate.
Wait, I'm kind of into that.
And I was like, very cute. Very, very cute.
We love a pun. We love a moment. We love a sense of zest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess this is just a little bit of a commercial for that Hulu show, because I really couldn't. Someone compared it to like a combination of Salt Lake City Housewives and Teen Mom, and I'm not a Teen Mom person. And
I felt more Kardashian-y too.
That's a bet. Well, yeah, minus the... Yeah, maybe in like a narrative, in the way that it's edited. Because Teen Mom
it feels,
is different.
It feels
different.
It has that shiny gloss of it. Yes. Lots of content creation.
That's a great point.
Lots of sort of vapid personalities. Mm-hmm. And then like the similar ages and like the family aspect of it. Like, they're not related to each other, but they feel like sisters.
Yeah.
Especially because they look the same and they sound the same. The thing that pissed me off the most is that I had to actually watch it. I tried to listen to it because I usually listen to Housewives. Like, I don't watch it. I listen to it like a podcast.
Wait, does that mean like you're on your phone?
No, like I'm cleaning, I'm working, I'm shopping. Like, I listen to most Housewives shows.
But
like
then how do you know that Heather Dubrow is rolling her eyes? Just because you know she always is? Like,
well, a lot of times I don't see the reactions until I'm on Twitter. And then people like clip GIFs and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, ha ha ha. But for pretty much the past, let's see, I started listening to podcasts as a housewife. I mean, as a Housewives as a podcast back in 2017. When I was working at this publisher, and I had like a lot of busy work to do. And so I couldn't look at the screen while I was doing it. And so I started listening. I was like, oh, actually, this is even better in some ways. And so I've listened to it like a podcast ever since.
I don't know how to respond to that. I don't know.
But so I can't do it. I can't do it with the Mormon wives, though, because they all sound the same. I can't tell the difference between their voices. Yeah. And like, they all have that Whitney accent, that real, like, you know, it's like, okay, my healing journey. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. But in all the Housewives, they sound so distinctive from each other that you can tell them immediately just from listening to their voices. The only time I watch is like if I'm eating. So like if I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch Housewives and eat breakfast, or watch Housewives and eat dinner. But especially when they have so much, like, girl, I got to work. I don't have time to be in front of the TV. I work. So a lot of times when I'm working, like, I will listen to all my shows, because I listen to a lot of reality TV. Like, I'm not just a Bravo-holic. Like, I listen to all of the Love and Hip Hops. I listen to all the Basketball Wives. I listen to all of the Housewives.
You're listening to Jackie Christie. You're not even watching her.
I will watch them once they start to get elevated. So what I'll do is I'll put the on my work screen. You know, I work off my television and it's like 72 inches. Mm-hmm. And so I'll put the TV down in the bottom corner, and it's usually like behind stuff. But if I hear hear some stuff start to pop off. I'm like, let me click into it for a minute. And so I'll click into it so I can see it. And I'll watch what's going on. And then I'll put it back to the background. But for the most part, I watch all my reality TV in the background.
So you're a like, cheater brand. This is a cheater brand.
But I'm so good at it.
But
like, I'm an overachiever.
But then, like, what's the point of anything? Like, Beverly Hills, like, Beverly Hills is like a scratch and sniff. Like, you need to be able to see the money. Otherwise, what's the point?
There are some that I am more likely to watch based on I want to see what they're wearing.
Okay, which are those?
Well, I don't want to say
Beverly Hills, maybe Salt Lake is a joke. No. I can't think of any others. Atlanta, maybe?
Well, I watch Dubai, so I watch their outfits because they have the best outfits of all of the franchises. So I watch that one because I love to see what they're wearing, and I love to see the opulence of Dubai and how rich they are. And like, oh my God, the amount of money that they show on that show, it's outstanding. So I watch that one. Beverly Hills, I will watch more than the others because I want to see how bad the fashion is because Garcelle.
On Beverly Hills?
Oh, yes.
Because Garcelle what?
Garcelle will always find a way to put on something bad every time. Love her. It's stunning. But she's only just now starting to dress better. But she still hasn't hit it 100% yet. So I love to see how so bad much. Those are. I love to see how bad Sutton's outfits are. Mm. I love to see what Dorit's going to wear. Mostly bad. Mm. But I love to see what she's going to wear. So I do like to watch that one. There's nothing to watch on OC. They're not showing anything.
Because it's not about the clothing.
Right. It's about what they said. Drama. And I heard it.
No.
So, like, it is. Like, I don't need to see them because, like, they're not giving anything that I can't get from listening to it.
I could not more strongly disagree. I think with moments, OC,
like, I need to look at OC.
Absolutely. The tension, like, you don't know at what points, I guess most all points, Shannon is in the fetal position on the ground. Like, the most recent episode.
I can hear it in her voice.
No. The most recent episode, it's, like, so much of the LOL is the camera pan to, like, Shannon as someone's, like, doing her eye makeup and she looks like she's just been through a war. Like, you need to see that.
I think you need to see the beginnings and the ends. And so I usually, like, cue it up. Watch the beginning to the commercial, put it in the background when the last commercial comes back. And then I get all the good stuff, like the photo, the Shannon photo at the end of the episode. I got to watch that because my strategy worked. I saw the best part of the episode and my jaw dropped with everybody else. I was like, ah. So yeah, it worked out great. I think my strategy's fabulous.
This is so disrespectful.
It means I can keep up with all my TV though.
But are you? Yeah. Are you really keeping up?
If I stopped and decided to watch everything, I would have to give up most of my shows.
I mean,
I wouldn't be able to keep up with them. And
just
the thing
don't
is,
see people.
Well, I would rather see people.
Okay,
than see,
fine.
I do like to see the people, and I do like to work and go to work and stuff. So yes, I do. Because when I started with reality TV, there was less to watch. As they added more and more stuff, that's more and more hours that I got to figure out how to watch all the stuff.
We all make sacrifices.
And so my sacrifice was visual.
I don't even know what to say.
I think somebody's going to listen to this and say, he's brilliant.
I don't know what to say to that person.
Because it's like, how else can you keep up with like a 40-hour-a-week job plus
you stop working
15
so
hours of reality TV plus I need my 15 hours of prestige television too. I gotta watch all of my Apple shows and my Netflix shows and all of that. I gotta go out and get drunk. I gotta go shopping. I gotta grocery shop. I gotta cook. I gotta go to the gym. I gotta go on dates. I gotta have hookups. I gotta go on vacation. There's a lot of stuff to do that a lot of it I can do with Housewives in the background. Or Basketball Wives, or whoever else.
So has there ever been a moment where you have, quote unquote, watched, also known as listened to an episode and gone back and had a different experience because of, God forbid, seeing what's happened?
Yeah,
what's
Beverly
that like?
Hills was like, the biggest one was like a Sutton ugly leather pants comment because I never saw the trailer. And so when that happened, I was like, ooh, I want to see the pants. And so I just clicked over. I was like, oh, she's right. They are ugly.
But so much of the editing is built around the reaction. It's a show that I think, you know, inspires a person if able to.
And
frankly,
I do think some of them are
to watch.
Some of them to me are better edited because I love the editors on Atlanta and Potomac. Like they edit in a way that makes me need to see what the editor did.
Okay, thank God.
So I tend to watch those because to me, the editor is like the eighth housewife of those shows. But the editors don't feel the same to me in the other cities. So
you haven't seen a single second of New New York, because nothing from that is going to compel a person to be like, need to check this out.
No, like, I do. I like,
unless you want to see the cheese.
I see some of it, because okay. I love watching Brynn's confessionals, because I love the way she does them. I think she the way she flirts with the camera is very fun to watch, so I like to watch her do it. But other than that, I don't really need to watch it, because they're not wearing anything fabulous, and once you see Jenna's house, I'm like, okay, I saw it.
Here's my question for you about New York. Who from New York do you think is going to be hit with the second season slump of, like, someone who either we loved and now hate, or someone who regardless is going to have a difficult adjustment now that they know that they are niche Bravo famous?
So one, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a person that we just loved so much that
Jenna. Jenna was universally loved by the audience.
I think she was universally, like, respected and not disliked.
I think a lot of people liked her energy.
I think that's different from, like, loving someone. Like, okay. I'm a fan of them. It's more just like, yes, you came on as who you are, and that's it. Like, but she didn't give me anything memorable. She didn't give me anything to, like, attach to. It was more just like, you were honest about yourself. I like that. Good. You were very vulnerable. That was great. But I don't think that is something that makes a character who would fall into a slump. I think when you have a character who feels like larger than life, in a sense, that is that gets like a fan base behind them based on the character that they are, then those people can have a hard time, because they're going to either try to up themselves, or they will, like, flop under the pressure. So I don't think they have one.
Oh, really?
I don't think they have one that was big enough to do that. Because, like, even the one that came out as, like, the most, what's her name?
Jessel?
Yeah. Like, she wasn't really giving anything in the first season to slump down to.
She was given a lot of praise by the audience, because right. I think it was a counter to the cast thinking right. that she was going to be the joke.
Yeah, and she wasn't, because I thought she was too. I was like, oh, okay. But I think she held her own in such a way. I was like, oh, okay, good job. But it wasn't like it was more like, you surprised me that you weren't terrible, as opposed to you were so good.
I think also people think that she definitely has a dry sense of humor, but also there's something about her that is a little, not untouchable. There's something about her that I could see leaning into a lack of humor or not understanding what about her is funny that could maybe smack her in the ass a little bit season two. I could see it, because people really, really loved what she said on the show, which is maybe different from, like, loving her as a personality, and mm-hmm. that can go left very quickly.
So maybe. I don't even remember her from the trailer at all.
She might be a non-factor this season, which isn't a bad thing. If you can avoid that second season and just be like,
just sit back.
But, like, for real, be more a part of the ensemble. God bless. Like, that is not a bad thing. I'm curious about what will happen with fan reaction to Brynn and Aaron.
Yes, because I think Brynn would be, like, the most likely to go through some turmoil, because she was the one to me that was putting on the most character.
Yes, agree.
And so how long can you keep that character up before it falls flat? Like, how long can you be that person before it falls flat? So she's in danger. And then I don't know about Aaron. She's just, like, unlikable to me in general. So I'm like, well, you can't get more unlikable. So
there's something about her that I find really interesting. But also, are we going to get into the, like, does she pay her bills? Like, there's no, but, like, wasn't there something about, like, rent not being paid or something?
Oh, Brynn?
No, Aaron.
Well, Brynn, yes. I didn't see anything about Aaron. I saw
Brynn. Was there something about Brynn?
Yeah, because Brynn used to live up here on the Upper East Side, and then somebody pulled up this, like, old article as if it were new, that she had, like, had to leave an apartment because she owed so much money on it.
Oh, I don't think I knew about that.
Oh, yeah. But it was old, but people were passing it around like it was new. And I was like, this is so old now. Oh, like, well, this doesn't matter anymore.
Her apartment is gorgeous. With Aaron? There's something about, I think, about rent or something. I honestly forget. So I apologize. I could be getting this completely wrong, but there was something where I was like, ooh, let's Somebody ask about that.
Somebody dig into that. Did she bring her
around? Somebody dig into that. I'm just curious, because she seemed to be one of the cast members who seemed to have a lot of, like, not necessarily wealth, but rich. Mm-hmm. And so that's also interesting to me, when it's like, how much of this is the persona that isn't necessarily for TV. A lot of people do it. Right. A lot of people in Manhattan do it. These like young seeming power couple families where it's like everybody is at the fanciest, most expensive, whatever. Meanwhile, how much of that is caught up in debt? Right. None of it. It might be none of it is caught up in debt. And she is like seemingly the richest person. That might be entirely possible. But there was just something that like floated by forever ago. And I was like, like note to self, like that could be an interesting.
Well, that would be fine.
But I also think that, like, the new New York cast, there's something about them where I'm like, they're not going to dig into this. Like, the things that I want to know about where I'm like, how much of this is real versus fake or whatever, I don't think they're going to ask that of each other. It feels like they have sort of regimented boundaries around what they will and will not cross. And maybe that's my own projection. I just don't see them going, like, quote unquote, low. Like, they'll fight with each other. Right. They'll drag each other, but over things that I think are almost innocuous. Like, it's a, sort of like a nothing burger versus some of this other stuff where I'm like, ooh, that's actually kind of interesting to me. Like, are you the devil? Like, let's get into that. Let's get into, you know, like that could apply to honestly anybody on that show. Like moments of like, let's lean into the darkness, but I don't know that anyone will sacrifice in order to do that. That requires a sacrifice if everybody wants to look like they're playing nice.
Well, it depends. I guess we'll see, because with Minkoff coming on, like, are we going to talk about Scientology
there's
or
no
not?
Way. There's
because
no way.
Because they said it in the trailer, but how much are we going to talk about it? So, because for her, I was like, well, why would you even go on the show?
Because she's very well protected. So why not? She's got the best army behind her that a gal can have. And just Google her dad if you want to hear some info. I actually got into that conversation with another content creator because just nobody wants to go near it, myself included, because it's just...
I mean, but she's on the show. Somebody needs to go near it.
Nobody's going to go near it. I promise you, any interview that she's going to give, this isn't even podcast specific, but like you look at any interview that she's going to give, I don't think anybody's going to go near it. And but because she's so well fucking protected and because it's so terrifying because nobody wants to be fair gamed.
How weird.
It's really fucking strange. And it's like, so we have this, but I felt like that moment in the trailer, maybe it will be something, or maybe that's just a wink to the audience of like, we know that she is, we know that she's in Scientology, but we're not
like,
actually going to talk
about it.
We're not ignoring it. We're having a moment. We're putting it in the trailer so everybody feels
so
heard
and
respected.
You can't say that we didn't.
But we're not going to do anything about it. They're going to, if anybody has any kind of argument or frustration over Mary's stuff kind of coming and going,
oh,
then
true.
This is, yep. That's going to be,
this is
that's
so
like a fucking right. Dateline. Like
we're not even
season.
Talking about Mary.
No,
yeah,
this is like,
true.
Hey, have
that's
you seen
true.
Any aliens in space after you paid $1 million to find out? Like, you know, like that's not going to come out. It's not going to come. I don't know if she's going clear. Nobody watching is going to as a result of this. Like we're still whatever the muddy AF. I don't know what the opposite of clear is, but like, that's not going to happen.
Oh, okay. So no more New York.
Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andysgirls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andysgirls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfest. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year, and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndysGirls through December 31.
What a... Oh, but you know, on my bus ride up here, I did pass by Jill Zarin Fabrics. It is on the M15 on the way up here, so...
I heard, wasn't that earlier this summer?
Did it catch on fire?
I think it did catch on
fire. Well, it looked nice.
It's right, it's like sort of perpendicular from Orchard Grocery, the like vegan
sort of convenience spot. Oh, I don't, I just know it's like a block below Delancey.
Yeah, it's like right there. It's good that I'm just pointing my arm. Yeah,
and me too.
From like 11 to 5. I'm just like, it's just right there. It's just right there.
Yeah, just right there.
I've never been inside of it, and I don't know at what point Bobby sold it, but that's just something where it's like, you can just say Zarin Fabric. I'm sorry. Anybody says Zarin Fabric to me, just like as an aside, as a Bravo Holic, I'm going to smile. Like, that's
exactly.
To me is like,
anytime I pass by, I'm like, oh, there it is.
That's a core housewives memory inside joke of like, I actually don't even know if they sell merch. Someone should come up with a Zarin fabric. And it should, I think the t-shirt should be in a fun fabric. And it should be a Zarin fabric homage. And if Jill hasn't done it, somebody should.
Because
I would wear it.
But yeah.
Like a fun, like almost like a paisley or something. Like really focus on the fabric part of it and take that journey. Let's take that journey together.
Yeah. So
I hope Jill's well.
Yeah, I hope she's doing well.
There was nothing that was more fun for me than watching Jill react, I can't even say it out loud, to Ali, sweet, sweet Ali Shapiro getting engaged, because it was like the last day or the second to last day on a cruise that they were taking. Mm-hmm. Jill, Gary, Ali, and Ali's fiance, whose name I don't remember, except I think it's Jordan. And it's just so funny because like Jill puts out the video of like Ali's engaged, but the whole theme from the video is like, he didn't tell me he was doing this. So like there are videos that come out where it's like she thinks she's recording a proposal or an engagement. She doesn't realize it's her daughter. And then she's like, all of a sudden you can hear a voice. She's like, that's my daughter. And then all of her like the next day kind of stuff is like, well, we guess we got to plan a wedding, but also I didn't know he was proposing, which is, I don't know.
That's very Jill Zarin.
I don't know. Because, you know, it gets into like the patriarchy of it all of like asking a parent's permission for their child right. to be married off. But also, I actually do like the idea of it for respect, the tradition
but
of it.
But it should be both ways.
Parents blending.
Like, but it's never both ways because it's never expected for like the woman. Never expected for like the woman to ask the man to get married. So the woman never goes to the man's parents to be like, hey, I want to marry your son.
But she could.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
So like, no, it doesn't make any sense to me if it's not both ways.
I'm going to keep it real. And he seems like a wonderful young man. And I love Ali Shapiro and I love Jill. I love Gary. So I like love the fam, love Zarin Fabrics forever. I might, just knowing Jill's personality type, if she had, maybe she knew that it was coming, but she didn't know when and mm-hmm. he wanted it to be a surprise. And also like, I don't know that Jill can keep a secret. She might be like, how's your manicure? Like, right. have a great one. Right. Wink, wink. Like, maybe possibly that's a part of it yep. too. But I would probably feel a certain way. If like you've had this person in your life for so long, he was living with them at one point.
Like, left field, like you had no idea.
Yeah, like it was raining. They had just been on like a cruise thing. It was raining that day and all of a sudden he proposed. I might feel just a little something, but it was the fact that was like communicated to all of us. Like, but I don't know what you do in that circumstance. But also, how are we not watching Don't Lead Me Down This Path? Because I've been in a bad place. There's something, I don't know what it is. I think it's because New York is about to happen where I just feel sad about like not seeing the OGs so much. There's just something happening for me. I don't know my process. Like, I'm just going through a little bit of a very delayed reaction to not having anything legacy related happening with the New York cast recently. But there's something about like, I want to see Jill Zarin be an absolute monster bridezilla mother-in-law, like I want to see that and react to it and be repelled by it.
So you want her
to
do a special on Ali's wedding
and it will never happen. The only way it would happen is if we do actually do the mini series, limited series Legacy in the City, right. My name, which they didn't do because Jill didn't like the right. contract, then they blamed her for it, which was not fair to Jill.
Right.
Like, to blame this whole thing on Jill saying she wanted them to, what's that called when everybody gets equal?
Parity?
Yeah, what's the name of it? Not equal countries. What's the name of that?
What
the fuck's the name of that? Where it's like everyone gets paid the same amount, but there's a specific...
Oh, I don't know what that's called.
I forget. And people are saying it while they're listening, so I apologize. But like, she wanted to have pay parity, but also I think the pay that was being suggested to them or negotiated was not high enough regardless. Mm-hmm. And she didn't get it. And
so now no legacy.
Something, Favored Nations is the name of it. Favored Nations.
No idea.
Yeah. And so, and then it didn't happen. Then she was blamed by like Page Six and whomever, which was really honestly, genuinely unfair to mm-hmm. put that on her. But I'm sure the ask was not generous. I'm sure it was like bare minimum, but you decide to do it or don't. And right. she didn't. And then
and that's
it fell apart.
Her prerogative. Like,
but bring yeah. her back. Bring her back. I just want to see her and Dorinda, which feels impossible, and Sonia. Someone's got to get her out of bed and like lose off being a fucking like Edinburgh festival star.
The
so
best
like,
little PA tweeting the little things all the time. Lil? Like, oh, yeah. Like, you, she has some little gay PA is just tweeting the best things, like right on the tip of pop culture at all times. I'm like, this is great. Good job, Lou. Good hire.
When I see Lou showing up to like inner like Page Six and stuff, and she's got on like the tilted fedora, I just feel I'm just like in a state of bliss. Like Lou, like it was a joke for so long,
right.
but it's one of those things where it's like, who's laughing now?
Right.
Like a little skinny girl energy, honestly, mm-hmm. of like, this was a little bit of an LOL. Like Alex McCord's weird drawing in the right. dark was like not great marketing strategy, but like then she sold the company for $100 million. So who's laughing now? Like right. Lou's actually made this thing, Giovanni, into a career,
thing,
into a literal
wild,
thing.
Wild. People hire her to make sounds in front of them. It was crazy.
To like 100,000 people or whatever.
Like the biggest housewife crowds. Like who in the Housewife universe can pull a bigger concert crowd.
And to go from like Kim Zolciak.
Oh my goodness.
To go from when she was at like the White Party or whatever to Lou like actually mm-hmm. being a musical icon is kind of incredible.
Yes, the career arc of like the Housewives as musical artists.
it's like
all of
amazing.
This has led up to Luann. Of Which, all people, this has led up to Luann.
Can't we? And you know what? This actually still isn't fair to me because like Lou's literally now filming a show. She's doing the dating show with Giselle, Ashley Darby, and Shan in Mexico, maybe? I forget where they're filming. So she's doing that, but I'm just like, can we just not find another? I don't need another New York Legacy Ultimate Girls Trip. Just give me a little legacy in the city. And I have to say, it cannot be set at Bluestone Manor. You can have a day there, yes, but you can't do the
energy.
Full thing.
You're just going to break about, Dorinda like, down. Like them possibly filming a show at Bluestone?
No, I heard Dorinda suggesting that she would like them to do Traitors there.
Oh, no, not Traitors. Like a show as like Bluestone as like a B&B. And so, guests coming. Okay.
Yeah.
So, is that a real thing?
So someone.
No, it's not a real
thing.
No,
I'm giving you a moment.
Oh.
Catch up on the energy I'm giving you.
Okay.
Someone leaked that it was like being
filmed?
No. Oh. I think that it was like something that was like maybe being reviewed as a possible show, but I don't think anything was actually finalized about it. But it's not. It's not a bad idea, but it's also, and I want Dorinda to kill it. Like, I love Dorinda, but I also feel like she is someone who does not seem to respond well when the pressure is on her to host.
Right.
So I think leaning into that, like the idea.
Her carrying a show is too much. Like, she can't be the one who's supposed to carry the show.
Right. So the idea of us leaning into like the hardest aspects of watching her on Girls Trip.
Yeah, she needs to like hire an innkeeper and let that person do everything.
Versus incredibly unfair comparison, but versus LVP, where it's like diamonds and rosé, but the show isn't about the drama and chaos around LVP, whether or not she can consider herself to be a good host.
Right.
Because she knows that she is. And it's also a joke.
I know what I'm doing.
So it's like, I'm going to have like a fake villa. Like Lindsay Lohan's really a general manager at a place in Greece. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we understand this is a concept and we're going to wink at it. And it's like you're starting at the end of Vanderpump Rules of like, these are waiters, you know what? They're not. They're reality TV stars who are making $1 million a season. With Dorinda, I think it's tougher because she cares a lot more. And it's a beautiful, she doesn't get enough credit for that. Vicky dragged her to hell for that. That house is a fucking estate. It's stunning.
The
grounds. I don't know that doesn't she no longer still have the fish room? I think she has a fish.
Oh, but it's not on the wall anymore in the fish room?
I think
she took it down.
I think there's just one fish left. I think she
redid
it.
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah. But
so
it's no longer green.
Room.
Right. Okay. So I've been going back to Rhode Island a lot, which you know about. But I have been posting every time I'm there, I post a little photo or a video from my bedroom, which my mom, you know, it's just a normal beige bedroom that when I was a child just had photos on the wall of like boy bands and politicians and character actors that I admired, like Robin
Politicians on the wall.
I don't know. I was in a strange child. I was like, these are people I admire. I think they're like cute. And it's like a literal 50-year-old character actor. But so it's just like normal. And at some point in time, and I don't think I've ever asked her because I was like, this doesn't even really need an explanation because there's no explanation that could be okay. She turned it into her office space, which is entirely fine.
Right.
But I don't know. Have you seen this? Because I Instagram story a lot from Rhode Island. She decided that the decor choice would be blood red.
Oh.
So all of the walls are a deep blood garnet red. Like this is literal Hulu miniseries comes out in like October 3rd as a lead up to Halloween. But also the rug is red.
Oh.
The window treatments are red. And I've never asked her because I was like, there's nothing you could ever say. Everything is red except for the like, I don't even know what color the couch is. Like a tan maybe. I don't even look
for
at
contrast.
It. For contrast. And it's just deep red. And I posted at one point and someone responded back and they're like, this should be a fish room because it really, it gives that shocking energy where you're like, yeah, I should put a fucking fish on a wall.
Yeah.
A red one.
A red one. Exactly.
Listen, we haven't talked about anything at all, which is my favorite episode. Where I'm like, I guess we're getting started. Any closing thoughts on Shannon?
Closing thoughts on Shannon. We're closing the thoughts on Shannon.
We don't have to close. We can open the door. I'm available all day. Unlike you, I focus on TV all day. I'm just getting my day started.
Wait, what time is it? I do have a meeting this afternoon. Oh, we're good. Okay, we're fine.
How much time do you have?
My meeting's at 4.
Oh, so okay. Fine. This is going to be a two-parter. Well, if we're dangling the carrot of more Shan, I'm going to need us to continue this conversation. So head on over to part 2, available now.